The Cocktail Cabinet from Prince Wine Store, bringing wine enthusiasts the greatest wine in the world. PrinceWineStore.com.au.
So, Miles, you've been to Portugal, or we're going to Portugal today, one of my favourite places. It's not just about port, Corrie, even though that is obviously pretty famous export of the old Portugal. Miles, you've got three or four to tell us about today.
Yeah, it's a pretty... It's an amazing country. If you've ever been, it's pretty fantastic. It's really cool. People are awesome. Very different as far as wine's concerned as well. So if you kind of look at, you know, you look at the traditional French varieties that you see in Australia, Cabernet, Pinot, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, that sort of stuff. And then obviously you go to Spain and Italy, it's a whole other sort of set of wines. You know, you're talking about, you know, Tempranillo and all these, and you know, Sangiovese in Italy and things like that. And then you go to Portugal and it's different again. So you have a whole bunch of different grape varietals again. They share a couple of things in common with Spain, which is not unusual. There's definitely some varieties there that they share, but it's a whole other sort of set of aroma and taste profiles again. It's quite different, as you were saying sort of before, more famous for their ports. But they have been making still wine for a while, and now it's becoming really popular over there. And they do some really fantastic stuff, and they make some really amazing whites, in particular from the northwest, which just is south of the Rías Baixas in Spain, which is famous for its whites, Albariño. They have Albariño, which is the same varietal, but they have other things like Loureiro and Trecadura and their own sort of set of white varietals there. And then, of course, all across the country, reds, and particularly based around varietals like Tarrega Nacional, Tintoriche is Tempranillo, Tarrega Franca, Tinta Barroca, Alfrecheo, JN.
So it's
very cool.
This,
Alicante Boucher, which is also something you see.
Does this reflect a centuries old practice of experimenting with wine growing and grapes, or is this a relatively modern or contemporary thing?
No, I mean, generally you see across Europe, you know, that certainly the influence of the Romans is across the wine world and across the whole...
What did the Romans ever do for you?
What did they do? They brought us wine.
Are we
so there's that. And so that's always the thing with European wine is the many, many, many centuries of picking the right varietals for the right regions. We don't really have to do it here. It's kind of covered by law over there. Here we can sort of grow whatever we want, wherever we want, but we certainly see, you know, you talk about Pinot and Chardonnay in Mornington and Yarra Valley, you talk about Cabernet in Western Australia. So we're certainly heading that way, but yes, you're talking about centuries of, you know, growing these grapes, seeing if they work, which ones don't. Some get shut out, some just, you know, they just don't grow them anymore, things like that. And there's a resurrection of old varietals that maybe were unpopular that are getting more popular. So very interesting country to drink from. And the still wines is kind of a new thing. Certainly the quality level of the still wines is kind of a new thing. So
we're going to Prince Wine Store, or we're logging on to princewinestore.com.au. What are we going
Please
to try?
Do. So I've got a couple of whites and a couple of reds. The first white is from Muros Antigo. The actual winemaker is Anselmo Mendez, but it's Muros Antigo Vino Verde. So Vino Verde is the region, which is up in that northwest part, just sitting under Spain. And they have several sort of sets of varieties. So Albariño, Loureiro and Trecadura, sort of the main varieties you see. Vino Verde is normally a blend, but you are starting to see more single varietals. But this is a really traditional blend, and it's, you know, unoaked, that lovely fresh kind of lots of like citrus and lemon zest, really pithy kind of thing going on, very textural. Lovely kind of white fruits on it. Beautiful, like warm weather drinking, all that freshness and vibrancy. So if you like Albariño from Spain, this is definitely sort of along those lines. Really, really cool, really fantastic.
And the name again, the Vino Verde.
Muros Antigo, Muros Antigo, Vino Verde.
How much is it?
That is $33.
Sounds absolutely delicious. Citrusy, textural.
Beautiful.
It is delicious.
Fresh. Whenever you talk like this, Miles, my taste buds go nuts. I kind of want to eat the wine rather than just drink it. Sounds beautiful.
Sounds like a good one for Easter. And what's your second wine?
The rest are all reds, and they're from different parts. And they do a lot of different. So I guess the Douro is where port's made, and you do see wines from the Douro. So I'll probably start with that one. Rossim, and it's the Mariana Tinto. They are traditionally sort of more of a port producer that's sort of gone to making still wines, and they make really fantastic still wines. This is mainly from a variety called Tarriga Nacional, which is the main variety you see in port. And this wine is that sort of classic looking Douro sort of wine. It's got that violets and blue fruits and that really sort of dark berry, that kind of wild sort of, I don't want to say it's jammy, but it is super warm up there. So you definitely get a lot of like heat and warmth, but there's a lovely freshness to the wines as well. So this gets all that lovely lush fruit and lovely fresh crunch and really nice bitey tannins on it as well. So if you're looking for something a bit more sort of rich and full, this is probably sort of the way to go. And the Douro being the sort of really one of the most famous parts of Portugal as far as wine production, I think it's a sort of good place to start. And that is also $33.
Mariana Tinto.
Yeah.
Delicious. And what's the next one?
The other one is called Quinta de Chacapatha. I think I've got that right. And it's a Lisboa Tinto. So it's from Lisbon. This is actually more of a variety. This is Tinto Oriche mainly, which is Tempranillo. So a bit more of that kind of red spicy fruits, that spicy sort of lifted thing you see a lot through a lot of these Portuguese wines. And it definitely has that. It's a bit more on the lighter side though, a little bit more crunch and freshness too, a little bit more of that kind of like red currant sort of fruit going on, that lovely sort of lifted sort of spice and like white pepper sort of spice. And it's only $26. So it's really fantastic value.
Well, the names are certainly challenging
yes,
today,
they are.
But that
even
is
for
a
me.
Quinta de Chacapatha.
Chacapatha.
You're so good.
I'll have to. I'll send
through
the
spelling. I've got such a great accent. But that is $26. That sounds beautiful. A bit lighter.
A bit lighter. And then the last one is the lightest. I sort of went a bit backwards here. And this is called Casa Passarella. I think double R, double L. Passarella.
Passarella.
Yep. Passarella is probably actually the with the double L. Oh. Yeah.
It's Portuguese.
Yeah. Casa, is casa like house?
I think it's like, yeah, like a domain or like a domain or a...
Bravo.
Yeah, very good.
Well, like Vino Verde is like green.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And which is green wine. Which
I've
is
travelled.
Essentially what it translates to, which is a good translation for it because that's kind of what it is with the whites. This is also a Tinto Oriche based, but it has a large chunk of a grape called Jayenne. Jayenne's kind of, I guess, like, well, it's Mencia or related to Mencia in Spain. And the best description of this wine, it really looks like Beaujolais. It's really wonderful. It's got this lovely smoky sort of red fruits, really like lifted, pretty florals on it, quite light, super crunchy, really fresh, very, very vibrant. So if you like Beaujolais, you'd almost probably maybe mistake it in the glass for Beaujolais. It's got that beautiful, lovely
that
sort of
like
red juby fruits. And yeah, it's really lovely. It's
I'm pretty keen on the Quinta de Chacapatha, Corey,
which is
light, but this is lighter again.
And this is lighter again, yeah.
And what does this set us back?
And that one is also 33, so they're all about the same price.
Do you have a Portuguese wine tasting coming up?
We do this weekend.
I thought I saw that on your website.
So these will all be on there and a bunch more as well.
So when we say this weekend, you mean the 23rd, 24th?
The 23rd, correct. Yeah, on the Saturday, 12 till 2 p.m.
Miles, you make me want to return to Portugal.
Yeah.
You make me want to drink their wine.
I'm in for that one too, so I'll be nostalgic about it all.
We'll be able to talk about that. And
Absolutely.
Next week, Corey, Miles is going to tell us what to drink over Easter.
Oh, good-o.
That's Easter a great wines.
That's a great reason to talk more wines.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want a wine with fish to have on Good Friday and a wine with lamb because that's what most people seem to have
Perfect.
On Easter Sunday.
I hardly ever have lamb, so.
I don't know. Have lamb at Easter. Well, why would you have lamb at Easter?
On Easter Sunday. You have a family roast.
Spring lamb.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, that's what many people do, Corey, and that's what I'll be doing. So we'll be talking about.
Love it.
It can be, anyway, you know what I'm saying. And Good
Sounds
Friday,
good.
Definitely. We want.
Definitely. Good seafood.
Or maybe something sweet with dessert.
Eggs, chocolate.
That was a
something
cocktail
with chocolate.
Cabinet.
Yeah, excellent. Something with chocolate. That sounds great.
Okay, even that's the third one.
Lovely.
That was a cocktail cabinet brought to us by Prince Wine Store. Miles Thompson, thank you so much.
Thank you.